Final international break is over, so we debate the best doublers, discuss if Haaland and Rashford will be fit to return, and ask what to do with our Arsenal assets who only have one game. Hello, the international break is finally almost over, the last one of the season. So I'm going to put it out there and say this pod could be one of the most important of the season. Lots of you working out just how to tackle these final few game weeks. It's been an international break, so we don't have a game week to recap on. But Jules, you've been pretty busy. Laser Quest later, pottery yesterday. Tell everyone where you are.
That's right. The kids are already on holidays in my house. So we are Centre Parks because, you know, this is what they wanted to do. So we're doing activities after activity after activity, which is great. It's lovely.
Other holiday destinations and brands are also available. Sam, what about you? Are your kids off yet?
No, thank goodness. They're not off. They didn't break up until next week. So I think mine have only got the 2 weeks, whereas Jules's are off for four. Goodness me, that's a lot of time to keep them occupied. So no, I'm just busy thinking about my future of my FPL team and what it might look like for game week 29 and then, of course, beyond.
I reckon we're set for a few Margot appearances on this podcast over the next few weeks while the kids are on.
Too right.
Anyway, let's welcome in our final guest rather than taking this podcast down a lifestyle route. Someone who has had a very, very good few weeks. Really excited to have the Premier League champion, Tom Stokes, joining us today. Tom, congratulations. What a time to be yourself at the moment.
Yeah, finally an Englishman who wins something.
It's
good. It's good. It's always good to hear.
Oh,
just like that. No, thank you so much. And thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it's been a strange few days. I think it didn't really hit until I got home. But yeah, it's just an unbelievable feeling. And it's different as well because I had so many Leeds fans as well. And they're just messaging me and that kind of thing. It's such a strange experience because obviously I just play video games at the end of the day, and it's been great. Yeah, really great.
Yeah, I imagine it must be absolutely incredible. Some newfound fame for you. So we're very pleased that you've taken time out of your schedule to join us, because you do also play FPL as well, and you're having a pretty good season.
I am having a good season, and it's a rare one, but I'm trying to get that first place.
Go on then, tell us what's gone right for you so far this season.
I think for me, I've stuck with the big hitters like that. I've had Rashford, Saka, a lot of the Arsenal guys. I think I've kept Odegaard and Saka and an Arsenal defender in all year. And obviously that's been great for me, as well as just making the right choices with the captaincy. I think this last week I had maybe five people playing because I just did not prepare. But luckily I picked Saka and he went really, really big for me. So that kind of saved me from having a disastrous week.
Are there any benefits to gaming like you do, to the level that you do, and also being an FPL manager? Is there any kind of overlap?
I think with FIFA, for those who don't really know, all these Premier League guys are given a base stats at the start of the year. And if they perform well, they start going up and they get these special kind of increase in stats. So it's like having a hot striker in FPL or a hot winger. They the same players that I'm using on the game are the same players that are performing in FPL. So I guess there's kind of a link between those.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. I guess it also kind of maybe gives you a wider knowledge of other players as well. Okay, it is time for us, though, now to look ahead to the resumption of the Premier League following this final international break. Sam, it's an exciting time, isn't it? But also quite a nervy time for us managers, just like for club managers with their players returning.
Absolutely. I think you sit there, don't you, when they're away on international break and you go, right, guys, come on, I need all 15 of you back without a flag on. And of course, it hasn't quite gone like that over this international break so far. We've seen the likes of Haaland, the likes of Rashford, the likes of Reece James withdrawing from their international squads, coming home early to their clubs with some sort of injury or another. And then we've had some bigger kind of issues that have been at play, like Emerson Royale has gone and got himself injured. He's had to have surgery, he's out for the rest of the season. Foden has got his appendicitis, he's had to have that removed. So it is quite a troublesome time for FPL managers. And of course, over the international break as well, we had the announcement of double game week 34. So throw that into the mix and suddenly you've got loads of stuff to be thinking about heading into 29.
Sam, quickly bring managers up to speed with the double game week 34 announcement. If amongst all of the international break fixtures and maybe you're having holiday just like Jules is, you've missed it.
Yeah, so we had an announcement over the international break that obviously we knew that game week 32 was going to be a blank game week. That's when the FA Cup sits. But now we've had some of the fixtures that needed to be rescheduled popped into game week 34. So we are starting to see those games that we didn't know where they were going to find a home find one in 34. We've still got three further fixtures to be rearranged. I'll expect them to go in after game week 34 now. But 34 looking like a relatively nice double game week. Teams like Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool in there. So a really nice double that we can start to really think about attacking, particularly if we get the players right for 29 as well. They sit quite nicely together.
Okay, well, something to bear in mind, but let's come back to the problems that potentially we could be facing ahead of this game week, Jules, because there's a few key players who are potentially injury doubts. I'm looking at Marcus Rashford and Erling Haaland, because of course they didn't go away with their national sides.
Yeah, you're right, Kelly. We mentioned already Erling Haaland, Marcus Rashford, who didn't play with Norway, with England. Reece James is another one that maybe you have to worry about. We saw that Marcus Rashford was back light training on Monday. You would think that by the weekend, and it's such a big game, of course, for Manchester United away at Newcastle, that it should be okay. For Erling Haaland, we don't really know yet. But again, it's Liverpool for City, such a huge game. It's hard to think that Haaland won't be there. But just keep checking, wait for the press conferences, keep checking for information where you can find them usually. I would think personally that both of them will start and both of them will be fit to play. I think they just also pulled out from international break just by precaution, not because the injury was bad, not because they were sidelined for a long, long time, but just not to take any risk with the national team and that they'd be ready for the weekend.
For those of us that sold Erling Haaland, yes, a reminder, that was me. It's an interesting time because I was panicking, thinking I needed him back in.
You're still panicking now. You don't know what to do.
She doesn't know what to do now.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know that he's going to appear on that team sheet. I just know he's going to appear on that team sheet and he is going to score, isn't he? He's going to go absolutely crazy. You're talking to someone that saw him score 3 of his 8 goals that he got in a week. Just before the international break, of course, he got a hat-trick in the FA Cup as well. Tom, I noticed you sitting there looking a little bit nervous because you've got both Marcus Rashford and Erling Haaland. Or are you as confident as Jules that they're both going to be fit?
I mean, I think I've got more problems as well because just to bring up Saliba, I think.
Oh, yeah, good point. I've got him as well.
I think
it's
they're actually.
Worse, Kelly.
I was kind of looking. I don't think he's going to play. So I've got a lot of maybe might have to take a big hit this week because there's some big opportunities, but. Yeah, I was looking at my team and there's so many yellow things. It's so scary to see like who might not be playing.
And do you know what? This is a really good example though, Tom, because so many managers would have been thinking about bench boosting in game week 29. And then we've got all these flags on all of these kind of key players. And if you don't get a definite answer on the likes of Haaland and Rashford and Saliba, Reece James, if you've got him as well, like, you know, if you've got Emerson Royale, if you've got Foden, then suddenly you could have 5 flags. And that means you can't bench boost because now you're in a position where you can't make all of the changes that you would need to without taking a massive points hit. So I think actually these injuries coming out of international break could have quite a major impact on what FPL managers decide to do with their chips now.
Jules, give us a Saliba update. He's your boy.
I mean, Saliba has he's flagged up on the game, 75% chances to play on the game. I just think they're still assessing his injury, really, that he picked up the other day. And he had a good rest during the international break. Obviously, he didn't go with France despite being called up. I think it's unlikely that he will play this weekend.
Okay, so Tom, potentially some surgery to be done to both yours and my team, I think. Also, a couple of other things to mention. Not only injuries, Sam, we're recording this on Wednesday morning and some Premier League players will have only just played their final international fixtures. That's something we've got to bear in mind too. It was something that was flagged on the podcast last week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got, I mean, just today, overnight, we've had games for Argentina and Australia. That means players like McAllister, Estupiñán, players that you really want in your FPL teams because Brighton have got a nice double game week, are halfway around the world. And not only have they just played much later than the other players that you might have in your team, but they've still got to get home. Now, all right, they're not going to be exactly flying in anything other than luxury to come home and they'll be able to get some sleep on the planes overnight. But nonetheless, it's not exactly the best preparation in the world, is it? You know, if they're going to be landing back in the country sort of Thursday, Friday, and then they're expected to go straight into a game on Saturday. It's not ideal. And when they're coming into, you know, teams that have got backup options that they could play, you just might find yourself in a position where the players that you are expecting to play twice don't really get 2 full games. They'll likely play in the second one, of course, but it might be that they only get sort of 20, 30 minutes in the first game, which might again destroy some people's chip strategies if you're looking for a full squad of doubling players for a bench boost.
Yeah, we'll talk about chip strategies a little bit later in the podcast, but let's just take a look at the transfer market as it stands and just who people are rushing to bring in. And it's interesting because all of the top 10 transferred in are double game week players. The only player in there with just one fixture is Erling Haaland. So they're also going to be waiting very nervously on this transfer news. But that's what we expected, wasn't it, Jules? Everyone just wants to bring in double players this week.
Yeah, that's right. And rightly so. Although if you look at it, there are some really tough ones. If you think about Liverpool, for example, who play City and Chelsea, you might think that Mo Salah, it's a good time to bring Mo Salah in your team if you don't really have him, already have him. He scored with Egypt. Okay, it was against Malawi, but he still scored, played really well. Let's not forget that this season hasn't been a great season for Mo Salah or Liverpool, but he's been scoring in the big games. He scored against City in the league, in the League Cup. He scored against Napoli. He scored against Chelsea. He scored against Spurs, a lot of the big teams. So you could say that Salah in big games this season has always delivered, or very, very often delivered. So maybe it's a good idea to bring him in because of that double game week, even if the two fixtures are really, really hard. So yeah, but we've also said all season long, Sam especially, that don't underestimate the players who have just one game this week, like Bukayo Saka, who, as you know, Kelly, is in really, really good form, of course, because you and Tom captained him in the last game week. Harry Kane has only one game this week as well. And after what happened in the international break, his record for England, all of that, you think that where Everton, Harry Kane would be so like pumped and so, you know, for his first Premier League game after being England all-time goal scorer. It's just so yeah, let's not forget that some who have just one game could be in great form, could be very, very good. But of course, if you can, bring as many double game weekers as you can.
Tom, when you're looking at doing the transfers that you've mentioned you need to make, and you've hinted that there could be a few, will it be players that are playing twice that you're targeting?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was just trying to find the teams that have really nice double games. Obviously, I looked at West Ham and Bournemouth, trying to see if there was anyone that I fancied. I think someone like Danny Ings might find his way into my team. But again, I've got more problems because I'm a bit concerned about Danny Ward for Leicester. I think he got left out, right? And I'm not sure what their plans are there. So I think more so for me, it won't be taken out for the double game week. It'll just be trying to find people that will actually play. So that's my concern.
Do you have any chips left?
I used to free hit really early, but I've got the bench boost still.
Oh, so you haven't got a wild card or anything that can help you sort these problems out.
Too bad for you.
I've got multiple problems, but I have got a wild card and a free hit left. So makes me feel a little bit better. If we not that I'm trying to rub it in or anything. If we take a look at the transfers out, with the exception of Miguel Almiron, who is injured, Ivan Toney, who is one yellow card away from getting a two-match suspension, and then Marcus Rashford, who, as we discussed, is flagged, all the other seven are single game week players. Sam, are there any that stand out on that list for you that you think, why, oh, why are people selling them?
I mean, the two that Jules has already mentioned, Kane and Saka, are both on this list. And I can understand it because, you know, the appeal of the double game week is huge, right? We all want to have our players have as many minutes as possible between now and the end of the season in which they can return points for us. And neither Spurs nor Arsenal will have another double between now and the end of the season. So from that perspective, it does make sense. However, Arsenal are on an attempt to win the league. They are in the prime position to do that over Manchester City this year. They are the informed team in terms of goal scoring right now. They score for fun, particularly away from home. And I genuinely think that selling your Arsenal players this week is a big mistake. Like, I am debating with myself, and we'll talk about this more later when we get to transfers, but I want to play my Arsenal players this week. I think, you know, a game against Leeds is a great opportunity for the likes of Saka and Martinelli. And by the way, Martinelli is the 11th most transferred out player so far this week. They could do really well. Kane, Are we going to see some new manager bounce from Spurs?
That was a question I was going to ask you, Sam. How do you think the Antonio Conte change will affect Spurs? Spurs fans around the world, and you, I'm sure, want to think that it's going to be positive.
I mean, I think it will be a good thing in the long run. I think, you know, we have to wait and see, don't we, how quickly that new manager bounce comes. But it's coming with Stellini and Ryan Mason, two managers that the players are used to, and that when Conte was off previously, they did really well under. So I suspect we'll see a bit of a bounce from Spurs, and therefore maybe it's not the right time to sell. But I can understand it, because of course they do just have the single, but it is a really nice fixture against Everton where Kane could do incredibly well.
Yeah, it does feel like if you hold Harry Kane, it would be a really bold move to sell him, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Son's also high on that transferred out list, but of course he hasn't quite had the season that Kane has had. Okay, let's now take a look at the most important players we think that are going to double this week for us to have in our teams. Tom, I know you've got a lot of therapy, therapy? Sounds like you're going to actually counsel your team. You've got a lot of surgery to do to your team. Who are your top targets?
I think for me, I've just going to take a risk on one of the Brighton attackers. Obviously, Matoma and March, quite good candidates. I think I'm going to go with Matoma just because he seems quite consistent. I think he'll definitely give me a return, and they've got some nice fixtures.
Yeah, Matoma is a good shout. Jules, who are you looking at?
James Maddison. We mentioned him a bit in the last show. The fact that he had that cap with England and did well. I mean, in Ukraine we're not at their best for sure, but England played well. I thought Maddison, even kind of slightly out of position, did really well. And again, for what we said about Kane breaking the record, I think when you go back to your club after having had a good international break with your country, especially for Maddison, and I think you've been waiting a very long time for that chance to do well, I think it boosts your confidence. You've got that momentum. I think you're really eager then to, when you go back with your club and play the next league game, to show, like, you know, this is me, an England international. So I'm sure Maddison, who has two decent games, really. You think Crystal Palace away and Aston Villa at home, to just like show on the pitch with Leicester all the good things that we saw with England in midweek. So for me, Maddison could be a very clever pick.
Oh, you're just saying that because you know I bought him in last week, aren't you?
You bought him because we told you to. We were like, me and Sam were just like, yeah, Maddison is great. And then we know that you brought him in.
The other thing I'll say about James Maddison, though, you know, if you look at him over the last four matches, he's had 26 shot involvements. That's more than any other midfielder in the game. So that divides up to being 13 chances created for his teammates and 13 shots that he's had himself. So when you're looking for a midfielder, I think you are looking for somebody that is leading the play at their team, bit of a kind of talismanic impact there, with nice set of fixtures that not only are a nice set of fixtures for 29, because if you've already, like Jules, used your wild card, these have got to be players that kind of get you more long-term as well. And Maddison kind of ticks all of those boxes.
And also Jayden Steele. Remember, we've mentioned him in the last few shows. But again, Brentford, Bournemouth for Brighton. Tom has mentioned already some of the midfielders, Mitoma, Marsh, McAllister. Sam mentioned, let's be careful. Let's just, again, make sure that people check when Mitoma was back from his international break. When was McAllister back as well? But Jayden Steele right now, and no pun intended, is still, considering his price and knowing that he would start those two games that look very good on paper, certainly for Brighton.
Are you looking at anyone else at Brighton, Tom? Because we discussed it on last week's podcast, what we went through and we created our wildcard teams. We were saying there's so many options in midfield, then there's options in defence. And as Jules has just said there, there's a good goalkeeper there that's at a cheap price too.
Yeah, well, me personally, I've got a Estupiñánth. So it's kind of like hoping he'll get both games in. And then alongside that, it's just trying to pick the right midfielder, because I feel like everyone's got different opinions. There's three very popular ones. And I think... you can't really go wrong, but there's definitely going to be the right picks at the end of the week.
Sam, there's some really interesting decisions to be made in midfield, isn't there? Because there's some really nice doublers, the ones that we've mentioned at Brighton, at Leicester. If Marcus Rashford is fit, lots of people own him. But then we have also got these Arsenal midfielders thrown in there. So although there's some really good doublers in there, there's also some really good single players there. There's a lot of decisions. That's where my main headaches lie, actually, which midfielders to actually play.
Totally agree with you, Kelly. I think that for me is one of my big decision points this week, is what do I do about my two Arsenal midfielders? The Martinelli and Saka situation is really difficult, because in some ways you think, you know, am I limiting myself by just having a player that plays once? But you do know with Martinelli and Saka that they are likely to return in that game where they play once. Whereas we've got some others who are doubts in terms of their injuries or their doubts in terms of how many minutes they might get in the first game. So I think you have to balance it quite carefully. For me, I think it would be a mistake to sell your Arsenal assets. I think they'll punish you because they can easily return between now and game week 38. And I think, you know, they have got the biggest thing to fight for out of all of these clubs and all of these players we are talking about. Arsenal have the biggest thing to fight for right now in the Premier League title. So these players are going to want to kick on and really kind of extend their lead over Manchester City. I don't think you want to be selling them.
Should we be worried at all, Jules, about the return of Gabriel Jesus and how that's going to affect the likes of Martinelli?
Maybe. We talked about it a little bit before, although the dynamic right now, like Sam was saying, is so good for Trossard, who, by the way, played really well with Belgium in the first game, but also in the second game when he came on. Martinelli and Saka have been outstanding in the last few games too. Decisive, full of energy. So you think that right now, I mean, Arteta can obviously start Gabriel Jesus against Leeds on Saturday, but it looks like he's still a bit behind that front three of Trossard, Saka and Martinelli. So you're okay. But yeah, there will be a point where Arteta might feel like Gabriel Jesus can bring something from the start. So I guess they can all play together, maybe, but it's more likely that it will be three out of those four at some point who will start. So I think for now, you're okay. If you, even with Jesus coming back, if you have Martinelli or Saka or the guard Trossard, I think you should be okay for this weekend. After that, I think, yeah, there will be a risk that at some point Gabriel Jesus comes back in as a starter, even if it's just for the odd game there and there. And then that means Trossard, Martinelli or Saka ends up on the bench at the start of the game.
Whilst I think that, you know, you keep your Arsenal midfielders for now, because I tend to agree with Jules, I think Jesus is going to be kind of eased back in slowly and you'll still get minutes from the rest of the players across the Arsenal team. I think the Arsenal defence is maybe the thing that I would look to move out, because there are so many really nice double game week defenders that you could invest in this week. So I think if you've got, you know, Saliba, who we've already mentioned, or Gabriel, or, you know, Zinchenko, one of the Arsenal defenders, you could move them on and you could look towards the likes of Ben Chilwell, who has been phenomenal for Chelsea over the last 3 weeks. He's got 19 points in the last three game weeks. That's more than anyone else at Chelsea, apart from Kai Havertz, who he's level with, but been really brilliant. Luke Shaw, who's been involved in 13 shots across the previous four matches. That's 9 chances created and 4 shots of his own. So I think if you've got an Arsenal defender, you can afford to lose them in favour of a double game week defender. But I think I'd hold my midfielders.
Tom, you are someone that is probably going to have to part company with an Arsenal defender this week. You've actually got a pretty good defence otherwise in having Luke Shaw, Estupiñán, Emerson and Ream. Who would you, if you were to get rid of Saliba, who would be your standout pick to replace him with?
I think with the Saliba definitely coming out of the team, it seems as though I'm just going to have to pick someone from someone who I expect to pick up a couple clean sheets. I think Chelsea, obviously, a very good candidate for that. And despite not always knowing who they're going to play, I think Chilwell's a very good option, like it's been said. Or maybe going elsewhere, maybe picking up someone from West Ham. I do already have Emerson, but I'm not convinced he in his starting ability constantly, yeah. But I like the fact they've got Southampton at home, Newcastle home. I do think there's points there.
Yeah, and there's a few standout options in defence, Sam. It feels like now we're going to go through positioning, which does actually make sense. Ben Chilwell, is he the standout option from Chelsea?
Yeah, I think Chilwell is the right Chelsea defender. I've got Badiashile. I kind of wonder whether I've done the wrong thing there. He seems to be playing every other game, which worries me quite a lot, because obviously he got the start against Everton in 28, which then concerns me about whether he's going to play in game week 29 or how many minutes he's going to play in 29. So I think if you are going Chelsea, it's Chilwell, because I don't think we can guarantee Reece James's minutes right now, given that he withdrew from the England squad. So we're going to have to really wait and see what Potter's got to say in his press conferences if you are a Reece James owner. But I think if you're just trying to invest in Chelsea and you want a defender, then it's Chilwell.
Any other defenders catching your eye, Jules?
Luke Shaw, I mean, again, he's been outstanding all season long, whether he plays a centre-back or left-back. Sam mentioned some of his stats in terms of shot that he takes, but you know, the delivery, crosses, set pieces, he's on it as well. in terms of corners, wide free kicks, for example. So considering how good United have also been, like Casemiro in the air on set pieces, then I think Shaw is a must. Newcastle away is a tough first game in his double game week. We've said that, of course, it's not going to be easy, but you could also see United defending well in that game. And then they play Brentford at home at Old Trafford, which again is going to be a tough game. So it's not easy for United, that the double fixture in this game week. But I think Shaw, really, if you're looking for a defender, is a must have, like Trippier, like Chilwell.
The one thing I will say is, if you don't have a free hit chip remaining and you're therefore not just thinking about 29, but you're thinking ahead to 32 and the blank where a lot of people will use their free hit, then a Liverpool defender might be an answer to a question that you have, because they're going to double in 29. Now, yes, we've already mentioned it's a difficult double and maybe we don't see clean sheets in there against Chelsea and Man City, but they do play in game week 32 and they do double again in game week 34. So Liverpool do kind of solve many problems for us as FPL managers. So maybe if you've got the budget going for Robertson or Trent Alexander-Arnold, or maybe even having a little look at Virgil van Dijk, if you don't have the budget for those other two, might just be the way that you can kind of invest in a team that's going to play twice. There's some attacking threat there from those defenders, and that solves your problems further down the line.
Did you sell Robertson in the end, Sam?
I did, yeah. And I don't know whether I regret it or not. It's one of those difficult ones, I think, with the Liverpool defence, because they've actually been really solid defensively over the last few weeks. You know, they've been keeping clean sheets, but I didn't see the clean sheets this week. And when that double game week was announced in 34 and after the FA Cup had panned out and it was clear that Liverpool were going to have a fixture in 32, I kind of slightly regretted my decision to sell Robertson. So given I'm going to be wildcarding next week, I'll probably look to bring in a Liverpool defender then to benefit from 32 and 34. But I can see the benefits of doing it this week if you are in need of a defender.
Tom, I also noticed that you've got Mo Salah. So you've obviously got a lot of faith in Liverpool despite this tricky double.
Yeah, I've just been expecting him to kind of get back into his old form. And I think that he's shown flashes recently, but Salah was one player. I know I spoke earlier about how my last few years in FPL haven't been as good as this one. He's one player I used to be very, very stubborn about. And I didn't get him at the start. I didn't sub him. And he just kept punishing me. So I think I've always got that in my head where I always just think Salah is the guy to have. And
you keep him through fear.
Yeah, and I do think he's a big And I do think he's a big game player as well. And obviously these are massive fixtures for Liverpool. So I think he could do some returns for me this week, hopefully.
How do you feel about Salah at the moment, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier that this season, if you look at the big games, he was always there pretty much. I mean, we can go through the list, but he scored against City, he scored against Napoli in the Champions League, in the league. So he's been good in those big games, or certainly returning, not always been good, but he scored or assisted in those big games. Overall, the season is not good enough, you would say, from his personal point of view, from a Liverpool point of view, of course. But he's a big game player. He really is. So whether you have the courage in a way and the money to bring him in for City and Chelsea, which are two incredible games when you think about it, then it's up to you really. But for sure, if you look at his stats in those big matches before, this season he's been good.
Okay, let's round off kind of our double game week positional review, which it's kind of descended into, by talking about forwards. We've already discussed Kane and Haaland. And Sam, it's going to be interesting because there is a really understandable scenario where managers could end up playing a formation that leaves them with those two forwards in their team. And of course, they're two forwards that don't have double fixtures this week.
Yeah, at the moment, in my bus team for this week, I've got Haaland on the bench, which...
What? That's almost as bonkers as me selling.
I know, but it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because again, it goes back to that kind of conversation about, do you prioritise playing your double game week players over your single game week players? And then I've got a decision, straight choice between playing Saka and Martinelli or Haaland. Now, at the moment, Haaland's got a flag, so I'm waiting to see what Pep's got to say. Look, if Haaland is ruled fit, then I'm going to have to play him. I can't risk having him on my bench. That's just going to absolutely kill me. But the sad thing about all of this is that there are actually a number of really good double game week forwards that I think are great options this week. None less than Ollie Watkins, who we ranted about last week. And, you know, we've been talking for weeks now about how good he's been. Since Emery arrived in game week 15, Watkins has averaged 5.7 points per match. That's only beaten by Haaland, who's on 5.8. So it's like minuscule amounts different between the two of them. He's only blanked once in his last eight appearances. He's got a relatively nice looking double against Chelsea and Leicester. And he's had the greatest goal threat of any forward in the game in the last four matches, 12 shots in the box and seven big chances. So, you know, you've got players like him. You've got players like Tony, as long as he avoids the yellow card, of course, that could do really well this week. You know, there are so many decent options, João Felix at Chelsea, that you could go to. Of course, the Newcastle guys in Isak, so many nice forward options. Yet we're probably all going to be kind of compromising our forward line maybe by having single game week players. But then again, is that a compromise? Because they could do really well in the games that they have.
Tom, are you pretty happy with your forward line? Because it's Watkins, Tony and Haaland.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I'm a bit anxious about those Tony fixtures. But as I said earlier, I was in an ideal world, I was very much looking at Danny Ings. I know they're not the most informed side. I just really like those fixtures. But like I said, with the flags I've got, with the transfers I'm going to have to make, I think them three are going to be playing regardless for me.
Yeah, makes total sense. I quite like that forward line that you've got there as well. Okay, just a quick check-in on the single game week players. It's mandatory ahead of a double game week for us to remind you, as we have been doing throughout the podcast, not to ignore them. Other than Harry Kane and Erling Haaland, anyone else that stands out, Jules, that we just need to be a little bit wary of given their fixture this week?
Bukayo Saka, we said.
Oh, you know, how did I even forget Arsenal when I said that?
Yeah, no, but the Arsenal players, I think, of course, because of everything that Sam just explained about them, and you should always be careful. Apart from that, it's difficult. I would not go to Wolves. I would not go to Southampton, who also are the other two teams with just one game this weekend.
Okay, finally, we've mentioned chips throughout the podcast. As it stands, on Wednesday morning, the chips currently in play for the next game week, over 370,000 bench boosts, over 66,000 wild cards. There's a fair few triple captains activated as well, over 40,000, and over 28,000 managers have also free hit. Sam, you can make an argument to play any of those chips in this game week, can't you really?
Absolutely. I think the bench boost is the obvious one. If you have a team that doesn't have a lot of flags in it and you're certain that you're going to be able to get out 15 players, because if you've got, you know, Tom mentioned earlier, Danny Ward, you might have issues with him if Everson plays. If you bought in Sanchez a few weeks ago, you've likely got issues with him because of Steele, Rashford, Haaland, all the guys that we've mentioned that have got flags. If you've got none of those issues, then I think the bench boost is perfect this week. But if you have got issues, then I actually think that this could be a really nice triple captain week, particularly if Erik ten Hag says that Rashford is fit to start in both of these matches, because I think Rashford could be a really nice triple captain option this week.
Jules, are you tempted to play yours?
No. I don't think this week. I'm still waiting.
You're going to wait for 34?
Yeah, exactly. For an Erling Haaland double game week.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that as well. Tom, I know you've only got one chip left. I'm guessing this week is not the week to use it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think realistically, I'd only end up with like 12 or 13. So it just makes it pointless. So I think this week, maybe take a -4 and then just weigh it out. Because I still have the bench boost. And I think the bench boost, like you said, I think it's 34 will be the best move for me personally.
Yeah, I think that's when I'm going to use my bench boost as well. I'm going against the advice that Sam gave me last week to use it. But Sam, quickly on that, we know I like to use this podcast to help my team. I was listening to you last week and I was going to bench boost. But when I'm going to make my transfer to fix the Saliba issue. My goalkeeper doesn't play twice. My bench at the moment is Tarkowski, Martinelli and Aki. But while there's still doubts over Rashford, I'm kind of thinking maybe I wait.
No, play it. I think you should.
I don't listen to you, Jules. I listen to Sam and you don't listen to me. The feeling is mutual.
Yeah, I think
the
I would.
The flags have changed things, haven't they? A bit?
They have. The flags massively changed things, because suddenly you've got a squad that was all going to play, and yes, you might have some single game weekers in there, but you could get around that to, well, now I've got some doubts. I don't know whether my whole squad is going to be fit and available. I don't know, you know, you've got Tarkowski in there who hasn't got the best fixture in the world.
He's got Tottenham at home. What are you talking about?
Hasn't got the best fixture in the world. And, you know, new manager bounce Spurs, hopefully anyway for me. So I think if you've got any doubts about any of your players playing, then I just hold out for 34. I think the fact that we've now had that 34 announcement since the last pod does mean that we have got a decent alternative in which we can play the bench boost. So any doubts this week, just hold it and play it in 34 instead.
That's what I'm going to do. Thank you for confirming that I was thinking the right thing. I can, as you guys know, I can never make a decision on my own. Let's finish the podcast with transfers and captains. Tom, tell us about your minus four.
Yeah, so I think we're looking at, I think Rashford and Haaland, I think we can rely on them to probably feature because like someone said earlier, there's very, very big games for the both of them. So I think I'll take Saliba out. Looking at Chilwell and a new goalkeeper. And I think thinking that'll be my team set for this double game week. I'm quite happy with the taking the minus four because I do think they should claw those points back for me.
And who's your captain going to be?
My captain, I'd have to say Rashford because United really do. Newcastle's a massive top four game. And I think this is an important stretch to get those goals. And he's in such good form. I do trust him to bring me a return.
Core, you're going to be keeping a close eye out for Erik ten Hag's press conference, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Jules, what about you? What are the plans?
So Luke Shaw has come on for Saliba and the captain would be
Copying
Rashford.
Me again.
Yeah, always, you know. And Rashford, I agree with Tom, would be my captain unless ten Hag says that he's not going to feature, he's not ready, he would be on the bench, etc., etc. But I expect Rashford to start both games and after 2 weeks off to be rested and ready to go.
Do we have a Rashford captaincy hat-trick, Sam?
We do. If he's fully fit, then I'll be captaining Rashford. Do like Maddison as well as a potential option because I do like those fixtures. And I've got McAllister as my Brighton midfielder and I think he's an option, but I am just a little bit worried about, you know, him coming back late off international duty and what that might mean for him because, you know, we saw that after the World Cup as well. But in terms of transfers, I think I'm going to reluctantly sell Gabriel this week because I've really enjoyed owning him and he's been great for me and like you two, bring in Luke Shaw.
Oh, we're very original, aren't we, on this podcast? I think we've offered up some alternative options as well. That's where we'll leave it this week then because Jules, you've got to get off to Laser Quest, Laser
that's
Tag,
right.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Under the rain, what you dream of, really.
But surely that's inside, no?
No, it's not.
It's probably in the woods.
It's in the mud, I'd be in the mud. But I'd be thinking of you for sure.
Please send us a picture.
Yes.
I'll be thinking of you. I want to know how this went. Enjoy the rest of your week's activities. I hope you survive it. Gosh, sounds like it's quite the week. Tom, what have you got planned for this weekend? Are you going to any games or anything? How do you normally watch Premier League fixtures?
Just generally with my family, but I've actually been invited to a Leeds game in the future. So I think I need to pick one wisely. Very excited for that.
You'll need to get a Leeds player in your FPL team when you go up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually used to have Jack Harrison for a while, but he's
someone that Sam's talked about on this podcast this season, isn't he, Sam?
Yeah,
is it Jules?
It's normally Jules, but to be fair, I do like a bit of Jack Harrison. I think he's a really decent option in FPL when he's got a nice fixture.
Sam, what about you? Are you going to be watching Spurs behind the sofa or with a bit more optimism this week?
I'll be watching with optimism this week. I hope that we're going to see some new manager bounce. And if you want more FPL in your life, you can catch me on Sky Sports News on Saturday morning.
I love that. We're all using this podcast to promote ourselves as well. Wonderful stuff. Always on it, aren't you, Sam? Always talking FPL right up until the deadline, which this week is at 11 a.m. on Saturday, the 1st of April. That's not an April Fool. If someone tries to tell you that deadline is a different time, I promise you it's 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday morning for the early fixtures. Get those transfers sorted. It's going to be a huge game week. I love it when there are so many teams playing twice. The very best of luck. We will, of course, be back next week. And a reminder, if you didn't listen to the pod that we did last week, because there hasn't been any fixtures since then, you might find it really useful as we discussed our wildcard teams and went through positionally. So do check that out and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.